Brought to you by Burr Foreman and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be.
Good morning. This is Lynn Hood. I'm guest hosting today, and I'm delighted to be here on Results Matters with Business Radio X, one of the great advantages Atlanta has. Today, we have a terrific show. We're going to talk about web.com, which is about as direct as you can get for a name. We're going to talk about the cloud. So we'll talk about the web and easy access. We're going to talk about the cloud. Then we're going to talk about womenetics. And the need. There's a huge need for more women in technology and leadership. And so we're going to move around to that and talk about their upcoming conference that is next Tuesday. So don't leave before the end. You'll want to hear about that. So let's start. We have Mike here. Would you tell us your full name, title, sure, and about your company?
Sure, Lynn. It's Mike Young. I'm the vice president with Web.com. And Web.com's in business for one reason, and one reason alone. That's to help small businesses be successful with their online marketing efforts.
So when did Web.com start?
So Web.com was founded in 1997, so we've been doing this for a long time. We actually, though, signed a umbrella sponsorship with the PGA Tour about a year ago, and then we rebranded what was the old Nationwide Tour to the Web.com Tour.
Really?
And so yeah. So we're now part of the golf sponsorship too, and using that to help build our brand and kind of touring the nation with these small business forums that we've launched.
So tell me what it is that you do. So I'm a small business. I have a small consulting firm. So what would you do for me?
Okay, so we'll have to spend a little time after the show then, Lynn, and get connected at a deeper level. So we've got 3,000 small businesses just like you around the United States. And if you were looking to have an understanding of how to improve your business and get closer, better relationships with your consumers, you'd want to take advantage of the Internet. And so Web.com is a full end-to-end Internet solutions provider. We've got domain hosting capabilities, website hosting capabilities. We've got the ability to build you a customized website or a regular website. We can help you with e-commerce. Basically, we can help you be successful with having an online marketing presence.
So let's face it, going from 1997, was there Internet in 1997?
Yeah, believe it or not, there was. It was kind of the Stone Ages. That was back when everybody got the neighborhood kid down the street to build their website.
Oh,
remember that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I know a guy kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, my kid's taking a class in high school, and we can build you a website. Those were some pretty, pretty things back then.
That's right. That's right. Now, it's come a long way. Listen, back in the old days, it was fine to take your electronic brochure and put it up on a website, but now you've got to be much more sophisticated. You have to really have an understanding of search engine optimization, Google Analytics, how you can be found. You'd be amazed that there's so many businesses in the United States, they don't even claim their own Google place, which is free. So there's a lot of opportunities for small businesses. And as you know, being a small business person yourself, Lynn, you wear so many different hats, and a lot of large companies have experts specifically designed in IT to help them with their online marketing efforts, but there is no such help for the small businesses, and that's why they need a company such as Web.com.
Now, I know the big guys have rooms full of people monitoring everything, and social media and
that's
optimization,
right,
and looking at the keywords because I'm in Cracker Jack marketing, I provide content for websites, so content's king.
Content is.
So what differentiates you, aside from the fact I assume you don't use scantily clothed women, from
right,
somebody like GoDaddy?
Well, that's a good analogy. I mean, GoDaddy, everybody obviously knows GoDaddy. They've chosen to build their brand one way. We're actually in the process of using the PGA Tour to kind of get our messaging out there. But ours is a very much grassroots effort. Before we signed up with the PGA Tour, our name brand recognition as a company was less than 1%. And a year later, it's 14%. So we're building that. It's a brand building campaign where we're using the tour city. So this year we've launched 27 small business forums around the United States. We chose 20 web.com tour cities, 6 PGA tour cities. That's why I'm actually in town for this week. The Coca-Cola Tour Championship is right down the road at Eastlake. So our forum is actually be held this Friday at the golf course in a wonderful tent asset right by the 16th green. So people can come to the forum, learn how to successfully market their business, stay for the golf, and have a great Friday here in Atlanta.
Now, is that open to anybody?
Open to anybody. And we've got room, we think, for about 500 attendees, so everybody's welcome to come out. Anybody really that wants to have a better, deeper understanding on how to effectively market their business online, we'll have a free breakfast that'll start at 7:30. The content starts at 8 because you understand the importance of content, Lynn.
Yep.
And then we have Q&A on the backside till about 10 o'clock.
So, and where would someone find out more information about that?
So a couple places. You can just go to your local Eventbrite and pick us up that way, or you can just go to our direct landing page, which is smallbusinessforum.web.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super.
This Friday, 7:30 a.m.
Okay, we're happy to promote. Now, let's talk a little bit about if someone chooses to work with you.
Uh-huh.
What kind of, are there any particular sorts of businesses or industries that are particularly attractive to web.com?
Yeah, well, we treat everybody, basically. Our sweet spot is employers that have between 1 and 20 employees. That's probably about 80% of our customer base. But we've got mid-sized companies as well. But we, accountants, doctors, lawyers, restaurant owners, realtors, any mom-and-pop Main Street America business that you can think of are our customers today.
So what happens? Are there still companies out there that don't have a website?
Believe it or not, there are still people trying to use the Yellow Pages. It's not a very good strategy, but there are some of those folks out there, yes.
So what would the three steps be for someone that says, wow, you know, I need to put my dentist office or my plumbing company online, what should they do aside from going to web.com?
Well, sure. Yeah, and there's other great companies, local companies, national companies out there in addition to web.com. But there is, I think the most important thing for small businesses to know is there are experts out there that can help them. It's a very confusing time. A lot of folks will get their domain, and they may not like the name. They'll get another domain, and they build up all these domains, and they never turn them on. You need a domain. You need a website hosting. You need either to have somebody build you the website or build it yourself through templates that you can do. And then you got to understand what you want your website to do. I mean, people don't sometimes map their actual website presence to their business plan, and there's a big disconnect. You're not going to have a good online presence if you don't have a good understanding of what your own business plan is, too. So there's some help out there through companies like SCORE and the SBDC that can help bring templates and tools so they can have an understanding of how they should be building their business plan. Then once they have the business plan locked down, they can have a real shot at building a good website that'll do the things that they want to be done.
Do you have any case studies? Do you have any companies that started off with nothing and have gone on to tremendous success, or at least have increased business by 10%?
Oh, absolutely. They're all over the country and in every different industry. There's tremendous success stories out there. And if you think about Main Street America now, they're in a transformative period of basically relearning how to get their message out into the marketplace and actually compete with bigger companies. And so the web is actually leveling the playing field and allowing a lot of the small businesses to compete and succeed against some bigger presence. But they really have to invest the time and get some experts to help them figure it all out.
True.
Yeah.
So would you talk a little bit about SEO, search engine optimization?
Sure. So search engine optimization is very important. Whether you're doing paid search or earned search, it doesn't matter how great a website you build. If nobody can get there and nobody can access your website, you're not going to be very successful. And whether you're using Google or Bing or Yahoo, the search engines, you really have to understand the kind of the fundamentals of how to be found. You'd be amazed that probably half the small businesses out there don't even have their contact information on their own website. There no phone number, no website. You know, there's some basic things. A lot of people love to jam a lot of content, which are really basically words, into their website, and they'd be better off putting some pictures or some video. And there's a lot of ways they can learn. And small businesses that come to our forums, the best thing that we hear out of them is that they love the interactive Q&A part, because they all sit in a certain seat, in a position, and view the web through where they are in it today, right? So we have some people that are sitting in our audience who have never touched the website. We have other people that have gotten some domains, but they've really never turned on the website hosting. Then we have other folks that actually have really good websites, and they want to take it to the next level and do e-commerce on their website. So the ability to ask one-on-one questions allows them to feel that we're customizing it to their needs. So that's some of the best feedback we get from our small business forums.
Okay.
Yes.
So now this all exists in the web, the internet. This all is starting to exist in an area that it's sitting on your server, correct? It's sitting on servers all across your...
Yeah, we don't have the special cloud set up over here like Dave does. We'll have to talk after the show how we can take advantage of the cloud over there. But yeah, we build websites for folks from our perspective. We'll interview a customer. If you came to us, we did interview you for 45 minutes and then have a really good understanding of what you're trying to do with your website, what your business is all about. Do you want to make purchases? Do you want to have customers purchase things online, or do you want to just direct them? Do you want them to just make a phone call? We'll have an understanding of what your goals are, and that's how we'll start the process of building your website. A lot of folks will go online and use tools and actually try and build themselves. But the problem with that sometimes is the fact you may not exactly really know what you really want. And so if you go down a path of building it off of a template, you may go the wrong direction. So it might be helpful to have somebody look at your website for you and make an evaluation with you on what your needs are.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's something that y'all can do for people.
Absolutely.
Then,
is to
give them that expert advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you need to come to the Small Business Forum Friday, too. What are you doing Friday morning?
At the golf course.
East
breakfast,
Lake.
Breakfast,
a free golf ticket after the forum, and an opportunity to answer all your questions. Now, do you have a website yourself?
I do have a website.
Yeah? And is it doing for you what you envisioned it would do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah?
Of course, I haven't touched it in a few years.
Updating your website is one of the keys.
We can use me as a case history of what not to do.
Yeah, a lot of people start out with the vision for their website. Usually, we take this poll afterwards, and probably about 90% of the people don't like what the website is doing for them. So, in other words, they don't feel like it's meeting or exceeding their own expectations, and so you would be not different than any of our attendants.
That's very true. And, you know, the old saying about the shoemaker's child is the one going shoeless. So, yes. That's my poor little website sitting there with nothing on it.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it has a lot on it. And the stuff I have does what I need for it to do. It's an online brochure.
Yeah.
People look at it and they say, ooh, you know what to do. So it's doing that. But it's not working for me. It's certainly not. SEO is not out there.
Come, I'd love for you to come out to the forum Friday, view it, and then kind of report back to your audience next week on what you thought of it and if you picked up any tips and tricks and helpful hints along the way. Most of our attendees, because we survey Monkey, all our attendees, both the ones that show up and the ones that don't show up, and get their feedback. And so we've done 25 of them already this year. So we've kind of got a little bit more science involved in what people are looking for. So we'd love for you to come out and...
Thanks.
Take a peek.
Me and everybody else in Atlanta.
There you go. Absolutely.
It would be a good thing
to
do.
You can even come outside of Atlanta. Down here.
Drive in.
That's right. Friday morning, 7:30 at Eastlake Golf Club.
Which means I could write it off as a business time that I'm spending, right?
You have to bring on a tax specialist
for that one. I could justify it at least. Well, I'm out there already. Might as well stay and watch golf.
That's right. Yeah. We actually... conducted a small business survey. We actually surveyed 3,000 businesses, of which 800 were small business. I wanted to get this in because Consumers expect small businesses to build strong e-relationships through the web and social media, and currently the majority of small businesses are not delivering on these expectations. 83% of consumers say that having a website and the use of social media is important to their consideration and choice of a small business. However, in contrast to these expectations, only 34% of the consumers say that small businesses they're familiar with have a business website. So you can see the big disconnect that's out there.
Yeah.
And I know your listening audience is made up of both large businesses and medium and small businesses, but the small businesses that are connected into that survey study represents almost a third of those respondents. So you can see the big disconnect that's out there and the huge opportunity. And even though we've got 3 million customers, we've only got about 10% market share in the United States. So that's how much growth and upside is still out there with regards to helping these small businesses, because they're starving for information and they really want to have an understanding of how they can have their websites do a better job for them. No question about it.
Very true.
So thanks for the time, Lynn. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Yeah. We'll come back and we'll let you give another plug at the end.
Good. All right. Perfect.
David, let's talk cloud.
Yeah.
So once you get your basic website set up, then you need to figure out where you're going to store some of that information, especially if you're in an information-intensive industry that needs to have backup, that needs to be able to access information from everywhere. That's the kind of setup that's ideal for a cloud.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Cloud Sherpas. I love the Sherpa name.
It's something that served us very well. It's meant to be descriptive of kind of what we're doing. We've seen the cloud be a new way for businesses to consume technology. And the name really came from Michael, one of my co-founders. The idea was we help you do the heavy lifting to get to the cloud. So we're the Sherpas carrying the heavy gear and kind of the expert guide to help you navigate this new landscape.
And we're talking right now, and we didn't give your name, David Hoff. And your title at Cloud Sherpas?
I'm the Chief Technology Officer.
Head Sherpa.
Head Sherpa, yes.
Head lifter. Way to go. So you're based here in Atlanta.
We are. We were founded here back in 2008. Our office is just right down the street in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
And we've grown pretty aggressively over the last, five-plus years. We're now over 700 employees in 17 different cities.
Wow.
So it's kind of been a testament to the disruption and the opportunities the cloud has provided. We've seen a great amount of growth across the board.
That's terrific. And cloud is really coming into its own these days, correct?
It is. People have, I think, grown frustrated of the entire process of just dealing with PCs. There's too much trouble and effort involved in installing software and managing updates and doing all the things. A few years ago when Google came out with their new version of the browser, the Google Chrome browser, I thought one of the greatest quotes that they conveyed on stage was, it really should just be like the ice maker, right? You just want there to be ice when you need it. You don't want little pop-ups telling you, oh, the water's ready for making ice. You know, oh, the ice is ready. You can empty the tray now. Computing and cloud really should just be seamless and automatic so that it's there when you need it.
Well, explain to us what the cloud is.
Absolutely. So it's a fundamentally different way to consume IT resources. And most people's exposure is through a lot of the consumer services. So if you've ever participated in LinkedIn, if you've ever used Facebook, these are some of the best examples of cloud computing, because it's not like you went to the store and, you know, purchased a CD of Facebook 2007, you know, came home, installed it on your computer. You simply just point your browser to it. So it's going to provide that ubiquitous access to the information that you need without all of the hassles of installing and managing the infrastructure to support it. We do the same thing for businesses. For any of those of you that have used things like Gmail, we help businesses move their messaging and their productivity suites, their office productivity suites, to Google to get that same type of experience. So you just go to a web address and the tools are there. You don't have to install or manage anything.
Now, so are you putting IT guys out of business?
You know, it's interesting. When we started the company and had discussions with CIOs and with IT people, they were very cautious of the conversations that we were having, especially with their executives. There was concern that, you know, if we move all these servers and we move all this storage to the cloud, there's no longer going to be, you know, need for IT. And it's fundamentally different than that. Most organizations have realized there's no shortage of need for IT people. And very few organizations are going to say, you know, I have such a good experience with IT. So this is an opportunity to get them away from having to manage the day-to-day drudgery of servers and to actually interact with users and have a meaningful impact on the business. So from their perspective, it typically means that they can get more involved in the business. And that's a good thing because there's still plenty of IT needs to go around.
So it takes them out of the drudgery of the day-to-day maintenance kinds of things and lets them concentrate on the big picture, on business goals and results and business processes.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to think of the one of the best analogies around the cloud is it's really turning a lot of the things that we've started to take for granted, like email, and it's turned it into a utility service so that just like the electricity, you know, the lights are on and somebody else is doing, you know, the difficult job of running that nuclear power plant on the back end. But we can just expect everything to work. And that's the reality I think that most people want.
So you're growing dramatically. So up to, you're going to surpass $100 million in revenues this year?
We're on target to do well north of $100 million this year. We've grown from a mixture of mergers and acquisitions and organic growth. And it's probably an equal split between the two. So there's a lot of opportunity left. When we look at the overall size of the market, we're still, just a startup on a global scale. But we see lots and lots of growth as more organizations want to get rid of their infrastructure and move to this utility type service.
So how do you compete with some of the big guys like Amazon and Google and some of the others that are out there that are pretty much, you know, everyday names?
So our core partnerships are with Google, Salesforce, and ServiceNow, three of the best of breed providers that were kind of born in the cloud that have always been there. And we do see a lot of competition from folks like Microsoft. There's been a sense of routine that's developed that, you know, we install Microsoft. And that's just the traditional business software that people have expected over the years. And, you know, when we start to introduce Google and we show them how this can benefit their business, there gets to be a lot of competition because Microsoft has earned a lot of money in that space. We have the opportunity of having a new and a better way to do things. And that's, you know, we're much smaller. We're kind of the David and Goliath in that scenario.
And with Microsoft, who isn't?
Exactly. But we're finding that, you know, very rarely are people itching and screaming to say, you know, I have to have it, you know, all of this installed software. You know, there everyone has a smartphone. You get so many people that have tablets. Our world of how we look at computing has fundamentally changed. And it's not where it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. And we want to be able to check our email on the go. We want to be able to, you know, take presentations on an iPad. And these are the things that the cloud allows. So we get great reception in business of all sizes.
And are there specific types of businesses that you found to be particularly interested in cloud computing?
There are. And they seem to be centered in different areas. So when we think about Google and the email and the messaging and the Office suite, we see a lot of adoption within the retail industry and within manufacturing. You know, both organizations that are looking for the best return on investment, they're looking to be very, very efficient. They've usually got very, very distributed workforces, you know, people that might be working at a point of sale terminal or something like that and just need quick, easy access. On the other side of the fence, we also do Salesforce, which is a customer relationship management. And in that community, we've seen the most traction in the financial services segment and in healthcare. So these are, you know, heavily regulated industries that have the need to connect directly with lots of consumers. And tools like Salesforce are outstanding in enabling that one-to-one communication.
Wow. And so we're looking at, you're talking about two industries that traditionally have not been known for their marketing. When you talk about financial services and healthcare, I know, having worked with healthcare providers, that it's a huge, the idea of reaching out is a huge thing for them, but also compelling for them is the need to keep confidentiality, maintain that confidentiality of patient records to comply with HIPAA. Now, people get nervous about cloud security and how they're going to do that?
They do. And, you know, a few years ago, that was the very first conversation we'd have with everybody that was looking at the cloud. You know, is my data going to be secure in the cloud? And we have to step back a little bit. We have to think about that. You know, if you were to think about how many USB drives, you know, the little jump drives that you might have lost in the last 5 years.
You know that there was a doctor in Alabama, I believe, who lost a good number of patient records because he was wearing a jump drive around his neck. And so apparently the cap stayed attached and the bottom fell off and he lost it.
It's surprisingly common. I mean, you can also ask, you know, how many laptops or how many, you know, smartphones have disappeared from your organization? And when you step back and you think about it, you know, having all that data locally is the equivalent of putting your cash under the mattress, right? It feels more secure because it's in your hand. But at the same time, putting it under the mattress is not the safest place for your cash. You know, when you have valuable stuff like that, you need to leave it to professionals that know how to build a safe, that know how to manage a security infrastructure. And when you look at organizations like Salesforce and Google, they're some of the leaders in the security space. You know, Google has over 300 employees that do nothing but full-time analyze the security of their infrastructure.
Wow.
And most organizations just can't afford to make those kind of investments in security. So it's definitely a concern, and it should be a concern because the information is important. But we really feel, and after having worked with lots of CIOs, that the security provided in keeping your data in the cloud is actually several times better than what people can provide when they keep that back on premise.
Now, because then we have to look at things like natural disasters.
Absolutely.
And so with on-premise storage, if something happens, if you have, you know, Hurricane Sandy wash on shore, if you've got a bolt of lightning come down and hit your building.
It's not unusual during hurricane season or other natural disasters, right? For organizations to want to look to Google. You know, imagine hosting all your data there. When was the last time you went to the Google homepage and it didn't come up? It's something that they've built their infrastructure with the best in breed technologies to make sure that it's available 24/7. And as a business, you get to benefit from the billions of dollars they've invested in that infrastructure to run your systems there.
So do you get an uptick in sales right after one of the big natural disasters?
We've had several customers that, unfortunately, most people aren't looking down the road and predicting those. It's usually reactionary that, you know,
closing the barn door after the horse is gone.
Exactly. We've had folks call and say, I've lost everything. I need to get back up and running. And, you know, because it's in the cloud, we can flip a switch and literally it's on within minutes. Then it's the long process of recovering data and getting that important information moved back for them. But at least at that point in time, they can continue the business operation and email will flow. But yeah, it's natural disasters are definitely one of those areas where people realize it's expensive to build data centers and they're difficult to manage. And it's better left to folks that do it for a living.
Yeah, they can make the power come on. Same kind of thing.
Exactly.
I love that analogy. So what do you see as the future? What's going to happen in the next few years with cloud and particularly with cloud Sherpas?
We're definitely looking at expanding the solutions that we offer. So, you know, if you think about where we started, email is something that's kind of universal. You know, within any organization, it's hard to find someone that's not using email on a day-to-day basis. And that kind of extends to the productivity suite, right? Creating documents, creating spreadsheets, presentations. Those are all very horizontal applications. And we've expanded to include Salesforce.com, which is probably the second largest universal need that we all need to interact with customers in some way. And so that has been a great expansion. We've added the IT end of things with our ServiceNow capabilities. And we're looking to expand our advisory services. So helping organizations optimize their use of the cloud to make sure, am I putting the right stuff in the cloud and am I doing it in the right way?
It's fascinating. Back when web.com started, nobody was talking about having websites, or that was something that was a big company could do. Mm-hmm. And then the whole cloud area became something that was cloudy, I think, as far as what people's perception of it was. And we're seeing both of these have become with web.com every day. The cloud, I think we'll see more and more businesses located there.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see how the next few years play out, because you're starting to get kind of these digital natives, the children that have grown up with the expectation of the web. You know, my children in particular, they've had Netflix for their awareness the entire time they've been aware.
Oh, so they're so spoiled.
And they get, any TV they want, anywhere they want. And, when those children start moving out into the workforce, their expectations of the tools that are going to be available to them, that whole consumerization trend of, hey, Google can search the entire internet. Why can't our corporate intranet just find my HR form? Yeah. Those expectations that people develop in their personal lives bleed over into what they expect at work. And, we're kind of in the forefront of being able to provide those same types of services that the consumer world has had enjoyed, bringing those into the enterprise.
Yeah, it's terrific. And you're right. I have a daughter who's now at 25, she doesn't watch television.
No.
She streams. Everything streams, except on sports. She really loves sports. And so she's in there watching the Falcon games out in Portland, Oregon these days, and trying to find a place that's got enough TVs to do that for. But you're right. She keeps up. She'll listen to the Braves play-by-play online, and it's a whole different way of doing things.
They're going to have an entirely different set of expectations and things that we just don't think about.
It's still very funny, when you watch an old movie and someone's stranded, you go, just use your cell phone to call for help. Oh, right. You didn't have a cell phone back then. So we're looking at industry, the IT industry, which is very male-dominated. I've been to conferences. There's not a line in the women's room when you go into those, which is awesome. But we need more women in IT. We need more women in science. And we need more women in leadership positions because it's good for business. And so we're going to talk to
Eleanor Dare White.
Eleanor Dare, thank you. I was trying to put an Eleanor in your name, and I knew that wasn't right. Eleanor Dare White, who's one of the founders of Womenetics, which is a terrific group here in Atlanta. Please tell us more, Eleanor Dare.
Thank you, Lynn. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm so glad to learn, Dave, more about Cloud Sherpas and Mike about WebMD, because what Womenetics does is a business resources company that helps businesses profit by advancing more women to leadership. And the reason we do that is that we believe fundamentally it's good for business. It's good for the business bottom line. There's a whole lot of data out there that proves the point that when you have a diverse cadre of thinkers in the C-suite making decisions and advancing business and looking at the marketplace, that all the boats rise. And Womenetics was founded in 2009 with the understanding that we felt that was really the way of the future, and that businesses were beginning to get that message. Certainly the Great Recession had a huge impact on everybody looking around at ways to increase productivity and to get more, to do more with less. And certainly women bring a wide view and a perspective, a point of view, that reflects a changing marketplace. And so what we do is help companies and women be in positions that enable them to take advantage of that perspective and point of view. We provide this through a very robust online website with primarily original content devoted to helping women find role models and to hear and see what other women are doing in the marketplace. We also provide training and development programs online. But we also work directly with companies, primarily Fortune 1000s, as well as entrepreneurial enterprises, to help them create internal avenues so that they do have a pipeline of women who are ready to step up to leadership. And that involves in-house training and development, as well as public-facing programs, where we bring thought leaders on a global basis to talk about issues that impact the bottom line and where women can have a real impact as change agents as well.
So what is it you think that in your now I have my opinions being a woman, but what is it that you feel like women bring to a corporation when they're in a leadership role?
It goes back to that point of view. Women more naturally, we know this, I'm not just saying this because I do it in my own home, but women bring a way of thinking and looking at the world that is inherently a wide view. And we are hardwired to do this so that when you look at business decisions, you're looking through that through the lens of a woman. Typically, you're looking at multiple stakeholder outcomes. And in today's world, businesses cannot succeed unless they do that, unless they look at ways to create opportunities and solutions that are not just one size fits all, but that do have a much wider perspective. And we find that women do this. The other thing that we know is that women in the workplace have a way of bringing a collaborative approach that so often includes bringing in multiple other perspectives as well. This reflects the global world that we're in today in a way that traditional business thinking in the past did not. And that, we know, is good for the bottom line, because whether you're a small business, and Mike, I bet you've got lots of examples of this, on the web, certainly Cloud Sherpas is doing this on a global basis. It's no more mom and pop and just Main Street in your little town. We are all looking for ways to impact the marketplace around the world, and the marketplace around the world impacts us. And so we believe that women bring an inherent advantage when they are in roles of decision-making in those kinds of situations.
Now, I have to admit that it's startling to me, having been a child of an embarrassing long time ago, 70s. And, you know, feminism was a big thing back then. We were proud to be feminists, unlike a lot of the people today. Do you feel like that there is more acceptance of women in the business place, that there's more, there are new generations that expect women to advance and
Well, we certainly see a difference in millennials today. Millennials, whether or not it's because they grew up with everything at their fingertips, or whether they grew up being parented by people like us, of the childs of the 70s, who had this view that everything is an open book. And so what we see is that the workplace is changing not just because of the global economy, but because of the expectations of the next generations of workers. The other thing that is important to note is that women are being educated. Women are graduating from with professional degrees at greater numbers than ever before. There are some statistics that even say that women are graduating at higher numbers than men. What we know, however, is that at the decision-making level, men are still disproportionately in the majority. And so something is happening between the time that women are excited, they are going into STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math at greater numbers, but they're not making it into those decision-making roles. And what we see is something that has been termed second-generation bias. And it goes back to what you just mentioned, Lynn, that in the 60s and the 70s, when the feminist movement first burst on the scene, and there was an entire generation that was captivated by it, somewhat in a more militant manner, some might say, it's a lot softer now. But yet, many of those biases in the workplace are still inherently ingrained. And it's not that men are out to keep women still in the home. It's that the way our society works still has not come around to encompass and embrace avenues where people of all genders can be fully engaged, whether they choose to be at home or choose to be in the workplace. It's a very complicated, complex world. And certainly technology, while it has helped us in many ways, has made it even more complex, whether or not you're on call 24/7 because you are in a field that demands it, or whether or not you just can't put it down. Your home and work life are much more interrelated. But yet, we've not done some things as a society that enhance women's ability to juggle what are still predominantly female responsibilities in a way that gives them the ability to also be fully engaged at work as much as many people would like.
Now, you're going to be talking about these kind of issues next week. Is that correct?
We are, to an extent. Each year, WomenEdX hosts the Global Women's Initiative, which is one of our two big signature annual events. We host it in Atlanta next Tuesday on September the 25th, and we will host in Chicago on November the 13th. Chicago is our second home office. This year's topic is around a business strategy called Creating Shared Value. And shared value is a strategy that basically reframes the way business does business. And what we believe, and what many people believe, big companies, Nestle, Verizon, Coca-Cola, have seen is that when you approach the market with an attitude of creating shared value for multiple stakeholders, both internally and externally, you do well by doing good. It's a way for business to address some of the most intractable problems on our planet by finding workable solutions, bringing the scale and innovation of business to bear on these challenges. And what we know is that when that happens, not only does business profit, but also some of these intractable problems are solved in ways that create solutions that are perpetuated by market demand. So whether or not you're Nestle and you're creating sustainable communities because that's good for the raw materials production that you need in order to make your products, or whether you're Coca-Cola and looking at how you use water and how can you be more responsible and create sustainable communities, or whether you're Southwire right here in Georgia in Carroll County looking at individual and unique ways to help educate a workforce that they can draw on right there in Carroll County. It's all about creating shared value, which goes back to the multiple stakeholder approach that we just discussed.
Very interesting. And the Congress is not just for women, correct?
Absolutely not.
You'll have some smart men there that realize that it's not bad to be sitting in a large room full of women?
Well, the one thing that we know is we can't just preach to the choir. We've got to have all the congregants in the room. And we are very proud of the fact that most of our WomenEdX conferences attract 35 to 40% men. That's very, very important because we are not going to get there unless we use a collaborative approach. And some of our biggest champions are men sitting in the boardroom.
So how do people find out more?
WomenEdX.com.
Spell it out for me.
WomenEdX.com. And you can not only access our events and our training and development at WomenEdX.com, but there are some fabulous stories about what women are doing as entrepreneurs, as corporate leaders, as agents of change around some of these big global issues. We put up fresh content every week, and we encourage you to check that out.
Well, that's a good thing. Fresh content every week. Right, Mike?
Keeps coming up.
That's right.
So I will send it to my daughter.
Please do.
I think that's terrific.
Better yet, invite her to come from Portland. We'd love to have her.
My baby. she's in STEM, by the way. So
good,
it works.
It
somewhere
does.
Along the way. So, Mike.
Yes.
What do you got going on Friday?
Small Business Forum, 7:30 a.m. Friday, East Lake Golf Club, home of the Coca-Cola.
Yes, it is.
Tour Championship. Mm-hmm. So Coca-Cola does some great things, obviously, for the city of Atlanta and hosting the season ending event for the PGA Tour. Only, I think, what is it? The top 30 players in the world are invited to this tournament. So it's a very special tournament. So, yeah, Small Business Forum on the 10th asset right at East Lake, 7:30 breakfast, content from 8 to 10, Q&A afterwards, and a free ticket to the golf tournament. For a great day as well. So smallbusinessforum.web.com. Sign up early. Sign up often. Spots are going quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And David, how do people find out more about Cloud Sherpas?
Best thing is to check out our website, just cloudsherpas.com. Can certainly show you around. And for the most part, a lot of people are familiar with what we do. If they've used Google, if they've used Gmail. That's one of the core solutions that we help businesses migrate to.
That's terrific. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.